You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Sometimes I swear the Green Bay Packers get a kick out of making us sweat. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's "We're winning this fucker, special teams be damned" 45-30 victory over the Chicago Bears at Lambeau Field, a game played before the nation on NBC's Sunday Night Football. Yeah, you know, special teams were an issue when Aaron Rodgers pretty much begins his post-game interview with Catherine Tappan after a win by saying, yeah, some of that special team stuff was wild, man. Or however he phrased it, I can't remember now. But, I mean, even Rodgers was like, what the holy hell was that? You could tell he was, even he was speechless at some of that stuff. I mean, it was, I'll tell you what, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I mean, I know I haven't. And for me to say that is just batshit crazy, because we've sat through Sean Slocum and Ron Zook and Sean Menenga and now Maurice, I might be unemployed come Monday, Drayton. So that's really saying something. That's saying everything. Holy shit. But they won. Chris, they won. That's the most important thing, right? Right, my fellow fans? Yep, it is. They won the game. So, of course, more on the dreadful special teams as we move along. But the Green Bay Packers won. Let's all remember that, too. And with the win, transition crushed it right off the bat. The Packers improved to 10-3 on the season. Still, of course, good enough for first place in the NFC North. The Minnesota Vikings, they tried. They sure tried their best to choke against Pittsburgh on Thursday night, but couldn't quite pull it off, even for the Vikings. That was just too much to ask. It was too much to pull off. As they defeated the Steelers to move to 6-7 on the season, keeping them in second place. The Bears lost, obvi, as the kids like to say. So they fell to 4-9. Packers, of course, complete the season sweep of Chicago yet again. And the Detroit Lions went to Denver on Sunday. And, okay, so look, it was a tough week for the Detroit Red Wings. They lost to Nashville, then got blown out back-to-back nights by St. Louis and Colorado. But look, that's going to happen. The Red Wings are a young team, okay? They're still learning. I still very much like where they're at, you know? Very much a team on the up. You're going to go through stretches like this on the up. It's all part of the process. Of course, yeah, the fucking Lions finally win last week when I don't do a show. This week, I'm talking Red Wings. So you know what happened to the Detroit Lions on Sunday. And yeah, it's mid-December now, so I got to talk some playoff standings too. Actually, once Green Bay wraps up the division here in the next week or so, I'll probably switch to exclusively talking playoff standings, because who gives a shit about the division at that point? The Packers are currently the 2 seed in the NFC, a half game behind the 10-2 Arizona Cardinals, who play the LA Rams on Monday night. Go Rams! And they own the tiebreaker over 10-3 Tampa Bay, as of now, based on win percentage in conference games. So that's good, still the 2 seed. Again, I'm going to get more in-depth on that stuff probably in the next week or so here on the show, once the division is wrapped up, and who gives a shit about how the Bears did or the Vikings did? I mean, you might not care anyways, but it's just a thing I do on the show. I like doing it. All right, before we get into the fun, God, I hope you're having fun already. I have to do another thing you may or may not like, you love, or at the very least tolerate, the shameless self-promotion. Twitter, LempsMKE at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. I haven't been posting links to the pod on there lately. I apologize for that. I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to get back to doing that now. I apologize. The email, oldbagofdonuts, olbagofdonuts @gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. Me like you those the most. 4 stars are good too. A comment. We had the most recent one. You know, I'm going to read it because it makes me laugh still. It's from Let me pull it up. It was from a gentleman who calls himself... Oh, I don't want to leave. What the hell is going on here? Gentleman calls himself SNC Dino. He really hates all the Packers talk shows. He said of me, Lempesis borders on being cartoonish, but you can tell he's just a fanatic. And then he goes on to rip all of our other shows because he's a dick. Borders? It's like the David Lee Roth. He was giving an interview on MTV right after his autobiography came out in the 90s. And he said, I read one review and the guy said, it tends to ramble. And I thought, tens? That's me. Border. I am cartoonish. It's football. Of course it's a... I mean, I'm not totally cartoonish, but I mean, there's a little... You know, I gotta be a little bit. It's football. It's giant overgrown men in helmets chasing an oddly shaped ball around a rectangular field. Come on, man. I gotta have a little fun. But boy, he really dislikes our shows. Thanks for listening anyways, I guess, if you're listening to this still, Dino. But it's the holidays. Don't you want to leave a positive comment to cancel out Dino's negative comment? I say you do. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk. Looking for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. We're on the iHeartRadio app. Find us there, too. And just, I'm going to keep telling you, subscribe. Mash down on that subscribe button. Delivers it right into your phone. We don't tell anybody else what you've got on your phone. We just want to be on your phone. We're not going to say, our lips are sealed about whatever else you've got on there. And if you're listening on one of the platforms I don't mention, please let me know. I'd love to hear it. Okay, now that we done got that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this Packers dub. Oh, did you really think you were going to win after that first half? Well, guess again, Chicago dub. Those are always really satisfying. Oh, because you know they had their hopes up. You know all the Bears fans, all their group chats, text threads. They were all tweeting at each other. Oh, man, you see the first half? We're going to get him. Oh, he thinks he owns us? We're going to own his ass tonight. You know they did. You know they were just talking mad shit amongst each other after that first half. And then, the second half happened. You think Matt Nagy had as much fun in the second half as he did in the first half? I doubt it. And that's where I want to start here tonight. Now, again, I know everyone's pissed off about the special teams. I am too. Don't worry. I am going to get to that. But, you know, I've said this before on the show. I'm never going to begin an episode after a win by talking about something negative. That's just not my style. It never will be. I want to start by talking about the job turned in by the Packers in the second half. Man, they really tightened up, quit screwing around, and just buried Chicago. That's great. That's what championship teams do after a fairly rotten first half. They buckle the fuck down. That's what Green Bay did. And the Packers did this right out of the gates, too, going 75 yards over 9 plays in 5 minutes and 36 seconds to start the third quarter. Most of the work being done by AJ, the human monster, Truck Dylan, and Devontae Adams. Right? Those two, they, you know, the Packers, they ride them down the field and then hand off to Aaron Jones out of the gun on second and goal. Jones, he goes outside, cuts it back in, sprints in for the score. PAT good, 28-27 Packers with 9:24 to go in the third. That was a big boy drive from the Packers right there. Dylan, I think, only had 3 carries in the first half. Right out of the gates, LaFleur makes it a point to establish Dylan and let the Bears know he's going to be a factor in the second half of this football game. That was big. That was big boy football from the Packers. And then if the offense showed it was locking in on that drive, the defense wasted no time letting Chicago know they too were dialing the hell in. On the ensuing Bears possession, second play of the drive, Justin Fields drops back and is popped by Preston Smith. No idea why I just hit my own hand to emphasize that, but I did. Popped by Preston Smith. I guess I am cartoonish. Ball comes out. Is recovered by Rashawn Gary. And that was funny because there was actually holding on Chicago on that plate. It still didn't work. Packers declined it. Big turnover. Packers take over the Chicago 23. Man, Preston and Gary continue to play incredible football for the Packers this season. You know? We were all, when it's, you know, when they said was going to have back surgery, we were like, oh man, there goes our main pass rusher. And those two have stepped up and... I say this not at all to slight Z, who you all know I love. But it's really, you haven't really even noticed he hasn't been back there. You know, I kind of forget that he's out with an injury just because of the way Preston and Gary have played. They've been outstanding. And then after the turnover, offense keeps it going. First play, Rogers, play action, rollout, stops, throws back across field to Jonesy, right over the linebacker's outstretched hands into a fucking bucket. Jonesy does the rest, taking it to the house for the score. PAT good, at least some of the special teams wasn't terrible. And it's 35-27 Green Bay, 8:54 left in the third. I want to talk about that throw from Rogers. That was, I mean, you know, I said on Twitter too, I think there's only like maybe four to six guys on the planet who even would attempt a throw like that. I mean, he goes play action. He's rolling out. His entire momentum is taking him to his right. And he just sort of stops on a dime and then throws a crossfield, flips a beauty, right over the hands into a bucket. That's a hard-ass throw to make. You know, but it was, you know, that's what Rogers does. And that sequence of events, the long drive with the score, then the turnover, then the touchdown pass to Jonesy, that was just devastating. That sequence was devastating for Chicago. I mean, they never really recovered. And you could tell after that, right? Chicago's next three drives offensively all end in three and outs. As the defense really put the clamps on Fields and company, that was great to see. Meanwhile, the Packers had a field goal in there to make it 38-27 before the final up yours of the night from the Packers to the Bears. A 13-play, 71-yard masterpiece that covered 8 minutes and 38 seconds in all. What a knockout blow this drive was. Oh, how great was that? Again, mostly riding Dylan and Devontae. The Packers just tortured the Bears on the drive. You know, they could have delivered the dagger at multiple points. Chicago had basically wilted. But they decided to twist the knife slow, before finally putting them out of their misery on a 3-yard touchdown pass from Rogers to Adams on a slant. What a release from Adams on that play. Even for Adams. And he's the master of the release off the line. That was special. Sold it outside, then went inside. He had Jalen Johnson on skates. He had him stumbling and bumbling. Cuts it inside for the easy touchdown. PAT good. 45-27, 4:33 to go. Adams was awesome. He was awesome Sunday night, man. What are you going to, 10 catches for 121 yards and 2 scores? Brilliant stuff from Adams. And you know what? I'll tell you, I thought Rodgers was really brilliant in this one, too. 29-37, 341 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, of course, 9.2 yards per attempt. I mean, he was brilliant. I thought Rodgers was awesome. Made a lot of big throws, clutch throws, was very smart with the football. It was good. Yeah, spread it around. It's good stuff, you know? It felt like the toe injury wasn't really bothering him, but then, you know, you kind of worry because afterwards he tells the media afterwards he did suffer a setback with it, and now it feels worse. The exact quote was, quote, we'll get it checked tomorrow. Quote, we'll get it checked tomorrow. Oh, my God. Let's try that again. Quote, we'll get it checked tomorrow, end quote. There we go, he said. So we'll hope for the best there, you know. Hopefully he doesn't have to have surgery on it, but we'll see. And then it was nice to see the defense come up with one last turnover very late. Fourth and long. Fields is pressured. Hit as he throws. Picked off by Chandon Sullivan. That was nice. That was a nice play by Sullivan on that. You know, and just a totally different Packers team in the second half after a first half that was, again, mostly kind of rotten. I mean, there were some good moments in the first half, for sure. I want to talk about the good first. You're like, Jesus, Chris, when are you going to rip the special teams? It's coming. Green Bay's first scoring drive of the day, long drive in the second quarter, capped off by Rogers going play action, slinging a bullet to Alan Lazard on the slant on fourth and goal at the 2. PAT good, 10-7 Chicago, 6:02 to go in the half. I love the slant. You know, it's not an accident that the Packers had a lot of success with the slant in this one. I've said before, it's the toughest route to defend in all football if it's executed properly, the slant. It's almost impossible to stop. It was nice to see the Packers really incorporate that in this one. And Lazard had a nice day, too. What did he finish with? Six grabs, 75 yards, and scores. Nice day for Allen. That was good to see. And then Rodgers had another beauty late in the first half. He has a mountain of time, waits, slings one to Adams down the left sideline. Adams hauls it in. How great was that? Adams hauls it in. The two Bears defenders collide like something out of a fucking Three Stooges episode. Adams sprints upfield and into the end zone for the score. Play covers 38 yards and all. That made it 24-21 Bears, 44 seconds to go in the half. That was big. The Packers needed that play. That was big. Even Rodgers talked about that afterwards to NBC. That was a big play. And then, of course, the highlight of the first half, Rasul Douglas. My man, your man, our man, Rasul Douglas. Third and fourth, Chicago 47. Fields going to Mooney. He's totally staring him down like a college quarterback. Douglas just jumps the route, picks it off, and it's a house call. Pick six covered 55 yards in all. That made it 14-10 Green Bay with 4:59 to go in the half. I mean, Douglas has two pick sixes in his last two games. That's incredible. And really, he almost had another one early in the fourth quarter in this one. So really, if you're keeping score, he's been this close to four pick sixes in the last two games. Remember, he dropped one late against LA. That would have for sure been another house call. So two pick sixes for sure. He almost had four in 2 weeks. What a find. They got him off Arizona's practice squad. I'll never get over that. He's been nothing but awesome. Oh, love that guy. And I'll tell you what, those moments were all key. Because this is it now. We're here now, 16 and a half minutes in. The special teams. Or as I think we should refer to them going forward, the goddamn special teams. What a disaster. I said earlier, I've never seen anything like it. I have never seen anything like the special teams. Really throughout, but especially in the first half. Oh my God. Have you ever seen anything like that in the first half? Well, you want to go down the list? I saved the list. Let's go down it. Here we go. Well, I didn't save it, but thankfully some beat writers did. This is from Matt Schneidman. From The Athletic. Yes, at Matt Schneidman. This is the Packers special teams in the first half. 97-yard punt return touchdown allowed. 34-yard punt return allowed. 42-yard kick return allowed. 40-yard kick return allowed. Kickoff out of bounds. Muffing kickoff headed out of bounds to give your offense a start at its own 5-yard line. Wild. That... I don't, and somehow I feel like just saying it doesn't do it justice if you didn't see the game. It was nightmarish. Never seen anything like it. The Bears had at least, 13 points off the special team stuff? Obviously the punt return, which was the first punt return touchdown in the entire league all season. No punt returns in the NFL all year until that one. What was it? They had three. They got their first field goal was off of a good return. And then that punt return. And then after the touchdown to Adams near the end of the first half, they had one of the big kick returns that set up that field goal. So at least 13 points in the first half for Chicago came directly off of special teams boners for the Packers. I mean, here's another stat. You ready for this? The Bears had 5 returns total in the first half. They had 213 return yards. That's 42.6. yards per return. That is oh my God, how does that even happen in 30 minutes of football, you know? And the punt return touchdown, I mean, I want to talk about that a minute. Grant backed up and fielded that at the 3, and he looked dead to rights. He looked buried. Then he made a move. I was like, oh, he's going to his right. He ain't gonna get shit that way. Then he bounces it back. All he goes, cuts almost all the way across field. And I'm like, wait, what? And as soon as he turned the corner and got the sideline, I was like, oh, this is trouble. And he had good blocking. And he was gone. It was like, I mean, I don't really have any great insight. It's just a fucking disaster. How does this keep happening? You know? And again, that was just the first half. There was more in the second half. Amari Rodgers muffs a punt. Was he trying to catch it with his face? It's recovered by Chicago. Bounced right to the guy. Thank God they can't advance it. I mean, it didn't matter anyways, but he advanced it. Looks like he was going to run in for a touchdown. Packers get bailed out on that, thankfully, because there was a flag one of the gunners went out of bounds and then ran down the sidelines and came back in. He didn't immediately come back in, I guess. You can't do that. So they got bailed out on that. But holy shit, you know? It was funny. I don't know if you caught this afterwards. They asked Devontae if he could help out on punt returns. And here's his exact quote. Would I want to do that? No. In an emergency, it could happen. Tay, my man, I love you. Can I tell you? It's emergency time. We're there now, buddy. We may need you back there to field these punts, because I don't think anybody else can do it. I joked on Twitter that Rodgers, as soon as the ball's punted, he should just immediately sprint to the sidelines and just let it bounce, because he's no good back there. Someone else said they should just rush 11 guys and hope for a block. I mean, why not at this point? I don't know what to do on that. It's a disaster. And then the Bears recovered an onside kick late in the game after the ball went off MVS's hands, because why the hell not? You want to know how bad it was? I don't know if you caught this. So after Green Bay's touchdown to start the second half that made it 28-27, Crosby sent the ensuing kick out of bounds, and the place erupted. People were like, oh, thank you. That was... So, you know, I got to talk about Drake. Look, there's just... I know LaFleur said after the game there will be no change as special teams coordinator. To me, there's simply no way he can keep his job. How? How can you keep Maurice Drayton employed after this? This was an embarrassment on national television. Everybody in the country saw this. Everybody in the league saw this. You can't allow this. This group is getting worse. There's no area showing any real improvement. Where are they getting better? Where? Name one area they're getting better. They're not. It's getting worse. Well, what did they expect when they hired the assistant to the last guy, Menenga, who sucked? That would be like if one of the guys who was captaining the Titanic made it off the ship, and then you hired him to drive your ship. Look, I don't even know if that's historically accurate. I think it's not. I think they all went down the ship. I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a history buff. I didn't see the movie. But you see what I'm saying. You wouldn't be like, okay, so you co-piloted the Titanic? All right. So what do you think about this one? Well, I'll tell you, I think I want to avoid the icebergs. You'd be like, he's good. Let's hire him. Like, you wouldn't give him a job. You know what I'm saying? It's terrible. And it's going to cost them a playoff game. Like, of all the things that could ruin the Packers right now, what would you say? And let's take injuries out of the equation. Because I talked about this during the bye week on Twitter. What are the three things you think could derail the Packers, right? Maybe not running the ball enough. I think that's something that could hurt them. They get too far away from the run. What was the other thing? I said three things. I can't remember now. Not running the ball enough. And I can't remember what the other one was. But the number one was special teams. Who cares what the other one was? It was special teams. That was the thing I was like, that's if, again, taking injuries out of the equation. Special teams are going to derail. If they lose a playoff game, that's going to be why. I'm convinced, aren't you? How could you think it would be anything else at this point? Imagine if this is the last dance and it ends because of this bullshit. Because they can't cover a kick or the punt returner muffs a punt off his face. He tried to catch that with his face, I think. What is Rodgers doing? How is he still so bad at this? It can't stand. It can't stand, okay? It's got to stop. Okay, so I asked people to submit some questions via Twitter, email, all the usual platforms, and you guys did not disappoint. And surprise, I think I know what most of the questions are about. Hang on a second here. Pull it up. Okay. All right. First question comes from Justin Cornwell, at Justin A. Cornwell, longtime friend of the show. Shout out to Justin. He writes, I can't help but fear that injuries and the abysmal special teams, see what I mean, will be what cost the team in the playoffs. But the defense and offense look to be ready to go. It seems the silver lining to the O-line injuries is forcing Rodgers LaFleur to use the quick passing game more. Yeah. It's hard to disagree with anything you said there, Justin. The injuries, like I just said, if we factor injuries in, yeah, injuries and special teams are the two things I think we could all agree are most likely to sink this team at this point if something does. And you're right, it's a shame because the defense and offense look bad. Now, the defense gave up the two long touchdowns in the first half. That is something of a concern. Because they had the two, was it the two long touchdowns against the Rams too, right? The one to Van Jefferson and then Beckham. And then today they gave up the two in the first half. So that's a bit of a concern. But other than that, I do really like the way the defense is coming together. And I think some of those big plays in the passing game will be, I think some of that will be taken care of when Ja comes back. Because it sounds like he's nearing being ready to go. I don't know about Baltimore, but I certainly think he'll be back by Christmas Day, and then you hope Z is back at some point by the end of the regular season. I think that will help eliminate some of those big plays, getting those two back. So that's a concern. But yeah, I think the offense is starting to find its groove a little bit. Yeah, I do agree with that. It was great to see them really establish a run with Dylan in the second half. That was awesome. And you're right. You know, they lose Billy Turner. God, of course, you knew Billy Turner wasn't going to make it through the year because nobody else on the offensive line has. And I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing at Billy Turner at all. But it's just like, it's like a grim black comedy laugh. It's like a dark comedy laugh, you know? You knew he wasn't going to make it because no one else has on that goddamn offensive line. They're all getting hurt. But yes, you're right. Making them go to the quick passing stuff, they kind of had to do that more when Dennis Kelly came in the game at right tackle. And I felt like that really helped the offense go. Our next question comes from Andrew at Andrew_Savay. Savvy? Savay? I don't know how to say it right. I know you went to Minnesota like I did, so I hope I got your name right. Can we start talking about how good Goody is? His team just put up 38 offensive points with third choice at left tackle, backups at center, left guard, right tackle, and a rookie right guard. His ability to build an O-line is shocking. Yeah, well, I mean, if you've been listening to the show, I mean, I've been crediting Brian Gutekunst pretty consistently. Even since the offseason, you know, when everybody was like, oh, Gutekunst sucks. I was always saying, no, he's pretty good, you guys. But you're right, his ability to build an offensive line, it's, you know, I've said this before, his work on the offensive line is very, it's like how Ted was with wide receivers. Like, Ted just knew that position inside and out. Ted took a wide receiver or signed a wide receiver. You knew that guy was going to be able to play. That's becoming Gutekunst. That's Gutekunst with the offensive line, right? It's just, he just knows how to identify talent. Him and the other personnel staff, they know how to identify talent. And guys that Stanovich can get his hands on and coach him up and get him ready to play. It's been incredible. You're right, because look at the offense. Now, I looked this up during the game because I was curious. I couldn't remember. Here's the offensive line to start the year, week one against New Orleans and Jacksonville. Left to right, Elgton Jenkins, Lucas Patrick, Josh Myers, Royce Newman, Billy Turner. Right, so that's what that was for that disaster in Jacksonville. Tonight, they finished the game with Josh Neiman, Lucas Patrick, or no, Josh Neiman, John Runyon Jr., Lucas Patrick, Royce Newman, and Dennis Kelly. That's like an offensive line you'd see in the third quarter of like the fourth preseason game. And the Packers had it out there tonight and they made it work. You know, credit to Gutekunst, credit to Stanovich. They've been awesome, you know. That offensive line, they're winning games with that offensive line. That's insane. Okay, so next question comes from Curtis Polishinski at KS Polish. How is his special team so utterly abysmal? Is it lack of focus / talent of the players or is it purely coaching? Or are the Bears special teams that good? It seems to be some unholy marriage of all three. Okay, so I can't talk too much about the Bears special team because I don't know. That grandkid seems like a hell of a returner, though. I can say that. You know, that's a great question. I do think that they're not... You know, I think not having ESB, he left early with a concussion, I think hurt as far as coverage units, but... I tend to think it's coaching, you know? I tend to think that stuff is coaching. Because I don't think the players are that... I mean, I think they got some talented guys on that group. You know, Daphne and ESB and Burks and whatnot. I think they've got some talented players on special teams. I tend to think it's just coaching, you know? It wasn't good with Menenga, and it's not good with Drayton. That's my opinion. Oop, burp, gotta keep it real. And then the last question comes from the infamous Packer Ranter. At... The Packer Ranter at Packer Ranter another University of Minnesota alum, shout out to them. They write, why are special teams? That's deep. That's deep for 12:55 a.m. I don't know why. I guess it has to be a part of the game. Can we eliminate special teams? If there's a way we could just have the game be offense and defense, I would almost for sure guarantee you the Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl and probably win. But because of special teams, I'm like, eh, maybe. Why are special teams? I don't know, but I wish they weren't. Okay, so that covers Twitter. Let's jump over to Facebook now. All right. This is from Sean LaFond. He writes to the Old Bag of Donuts Facebook account. This win is a rub-a-dub-dub because the Packers have a lot of cleaning up to do. Rodgers should move up the MVP charts for his performance today. Special teams coach should be fired. LaFleur opting to run the ball down the Bears' throat with A.J. Dillon to start the second half was brilliant and changed the tone of the entire game. I totally agree with you on the Dillon thing. Talked about that a couple times already. Totally agree. That changed the whole tone of the game. It went from like, we kind of screwed around with you guys in the first half to like, okay, here's our hammer. F you. We're going to batter you. You know, we're going to batter you to death in the second half. And they did. I think Rodgers, you know, I think, yeah, says, I haven't really talked about this in the show. I do think he's got a good chance to win MVP. Because who would you say even should get it at this point? Like, maybe Jonathan Taylor, I guess. I think is in the running. I guess Brady, but I never really think. I kind of think Tampa's, like, the whole package and Brady gets a lot of the credit for it. I guess Kyler Murray's in there, too. Rodgers, I mean, he's in the mix with those three or four guys. Yeah, I would say, for sure. Yeah, I think he's got a chance. If he closes these last four games strong, if his toe keeps, you know, if he can keep playing, yeah. He's got a chance, for sure. That'd be something if he won his fourth MVP. And the special teams coach, yeah. I mean, they talked a lot about that. You know my feelings. Let's jump over to the email now. A couple of emails quick. Start with Kyle Terpenning. Okay. Kyle refuses to get Twitter. He actually wrote me last night. Please have pity on me. I cannot watch the game tonight. I have work at 5 a.m. and a long drive. Mountain railroading is not always fun, especially when it's well below freezing. So this is a pre-show email. Go Packers. How about that one play where that one player did that thing? That was awesome, wasn't it? You know the one I mean. How concerned should we be for the Ravens? I know we do tend to struggle against very mobile QBs. Hopefully I'll wake up to a win. Go Pack, go. You are going to wake up to a win. Mountain railroading. Dude, you're a badass. Mountain railroading. Holy fuck. I sit at a desk all day. I complain if I have to go get the mail. Like, fucking mountain rail, Jesus. You're like old school tough guy. That's tough. Credit to you, Kyle. How about that one play where the one play you're talking about, Rasul Douglas, I think. And that was an awesome thing that he did on that one play. He's great. How concerned should we be for the Ravens? Well, you know, it's interesting. Because, you know, Lamar Jackson left their game against Cleveland today early with the ankle injury. And didn't return, and I guess he was seen in a walking boot after the game. He left the locker room in a boot, protective boot. So, you know, you got to think, I mean, if he plays, he's not going to be 100%. So they do tend to struggle against mobile QBs, right? Fields had some success against them tonight in that area. So I would think the concern lessens if Jackson is gimpy. Yeah, I would think that becomes, yeah, much, much more winnable for the Packers. And then our final email comes from Kyle, who used to have Twitter. Not so special teams, he titles it. Okay. I know you will get many comments about it, and I know you will hammer on it all pod, but it's got to be said. To quote my uncle, worst special teams performance I've seen in 61 years. And then he goes through everything that happened, and of course we know we've talked about all of that. And a game the Packers won by 15 in primetime, with Rodgers at a 78% completion percentage, 341 yards and 4 touchdowns. The story coming out is how bad the special teams is, and that really says something. At least I guess Crosby went 6-for-6 on PATs and nailed his lone field goal of 20 yards. Now that I am done with that rant, the question I have is, am I crazy to think that Dillon has been outplaying Jones? I know he didn't score the touchdowns, but he was a beast when given the chance. Go Pack, go. And shout out to Kyle T, Kyle S. You love it. You love when the Kyles are giving each other shout-outs. Love that. Okay, so a lot to unpack here. Yeah. I mean, it's the worst performance I've seen. I've been a Packer fan since I started watching games late in the 89 season. The Don Majkowski, the year they went 10-6. I started watching games late that year. So 89, so what, 930? I don't know, 31 or 32 years. It's the worst special teams performance I've ever seen. And this is coming from a special teams group that already cost them a win against Kansas City. That was the whole point of my postgame after they lost to the Chiefs. Even with Jordan Love, they should have won that game, but the fucking special teams botched it. So, you know, to have that performance not that long ago, and then top it, I mean, like, by leaps and bounds tonight, it's something, man. Yeah. And you're right, that will be the story. That's not what I led off with, because again, I like to lead off with the positive if they win, even if there's something like the special teams. But I think for a lot of people, that will be what they take away from this game. Yeah, and I don't blame you for that being your main takeaway. Because it was nothing short of, I mean, it was a disaster. You know? It's like the Great Chipmunk Fire in Biodome. I mean, it was crazy. So your question about Dylan outplaying Jones. No, Dylan has outplayed Jones, you know? Jones, it's interesting because I don't know if I would say a changing of the guard as far as who's the top back. But I think you're going to see, like, tonight, right? The Packers really wanted to establish themselves in the second half. And I think when you want to do that, especially outdoors, you know, it's getting colder now. Dylan is going to be the guy for that. When they really want to establish the physicality, right? That's going to be Dylan. I think there's a role. I got to say this right. Dylan has been outplaying Jones. Yeah, I mean, he had 71 yards on 15 carries tonight, only 35 for 5 for Jonesy. But he did have 3 catches for 30 yards, right? So 8 catches, so 8 touches for 65 yards. And 2 touchdowns for Jones, and Dylan wasn't even targeted. So you look at it that way, I mean, 65 yards total for Jones and 71 for Dylan. I think that's, okay, there we go, that's what I'm trying to say. I think they're establishing it as more, I think Dylan's going to be the lead back as far as carries, Dylan. And I think they want to shift Jones to more of kind of an all-purpose weapon. Do you know what I mean? Like receiving and rushing. But I think they want to start to give the bulk of the carries to Dylan now that it's cold. Especially when they're trying to, you know, really ice a game away. Yeah, I think he's been outplaying him. But there's still a very big role for Jonesy on this team. His role has not diminished. It's just changed a little bit. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay. So, and then I have one more. From my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-host, Gene Bosling, my man. He writes in with an epic, but I think you'll enjoy it. How overrated is the Bears' legacy? For all the talk about how the Packers live in the past, some stats. The Bears have 9 championships in their history. One of those has come since 1963. 2 have come since 1946. They have been to the playoffs 7 times since the dawn of free agency. Both Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre have more playoff appearances in Green Bay than the entire Bears franchise has during that time. Since Favre became the starting quarterback 30 years ago, the Packers are 46-15 against the Bears, including the ultimate I own you move for Rodgers winning the NFC title at Soldier Field. The stat NBC flashed during the game about the Packers having a chance to eclipse the Bears for the most wins in NFL history was a new one to me, and it was delicious. Seriously, this team won 1 championship in the 1980s, tied for the 3rd most in that decade in the NFC, and they still trot out every member of that team they can find. Hey Bears, Vince Lombardi owns you, Brett Favre owns you, Aaron Rodgers owns you, you still suck. Now go beat the Vikings next week. Also, nice knowing you, Murray Straighten. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's hope. Let's hope Drayton's gone. I mean, this is... You gotta... Look, Gene really researched the shit out of this before he sent it in. This is... I love you, buddy. This is a great... This isn't even a question. This is just a statement about how bad the Bears suck. Yeah, you know, the biggest thing I can say about the Bears, I said this to my wife during the game too, I don't really take them seriously. And I never really have. Right? Again, started watching late in the 89 season. Really came into it, you know, really started growing up during the Favre, you know, the Favre Holmgren era, Reggie White, all that. I mean, they've just owned the Bears. Those 15 losses the Packers have suffered, I would guess the majority of those, and I'm not going to look that up, because I don't think that would be very scintillating radio, but scintillating podcasting. But I would think the majority of those came in the Lovie Smith era from like 05 when Ted took over and started the rebuild. From 05 through what? Like 08? I would guess the majority of those. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to look this up quick. Okay, let me pull this up. Okay. Okay, here we go. I did have this up earlier for something else, but here we go. Okay, so Lovie took over in what, 04? So the Bears win. There's one Bears win in 04. Then in 05, they sweep the Packers, so that's three. 06, they won McCarthy's opener, 26-0. And the Packers won. That was the New Year's Eve game when we all thought Favre was going to quit. 07, they swept the Packers. Actually, two of the Packers' three losses that year were to the Bears. So we're up to six. And then in 08, the Bears won that Monday Nighter late in the year in overtime. So that's seven. So here you go. Seven of those 15 wins. And how long of a span is that? So about 30 years. Seven of the Bears' 15 wins over Green Bay came in a 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, in a five-year span. So other than that span, the Packers have completely owned them. So I don't ever really take the Bears that seriously. Like, I know they're a big rival. And now that I live in Milwaukee, I understand it a little bit better. But, like, I guess I just don't ever really take them that seriously. I've always taken the Vikings more seriously. I've always taken teams like the Cowboys and in more recent years, the Seahawks and 49ers. I've always kind of looked at them as Green Bay's rivals as opposed to, like, Chicago. So, yeah, I mean, we've just kind of owned that franchise. They're not on our level. And they never really have been for my lifetime. I'm sure that'll flip at some point and it'll suck. But right now, I'm loving the hell out of it. So, yeah. I agree with you, Gene. Great question. Great work, buddy. All right, big picture time now, 42 minutes in. No, you know what? It's late. That rant that I had about the special teams, that was my big picture. You've got a team capable of winning a damn Super Bowl. Don't let the special team screw this up, Matt. Don't do it. Okay. So that about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I hope you've had as much fun listening as I have recording it. Always a blast, even if it's late as shit. We look ahead to next week now. The Packers will be back in action as they head out to Baltimore to take on the Ravens. That one is set for a 3:25 p.m. Lambeau time start. That was originally a noon game, but then the league moved it up because obviously you got two really good teams in that one. The big question, touched on it a little bit ago, will Baltimore have Lamar Jackson at quarterback? He got carted off again early Sunday against Cleveland with an ankle injury, walking boot. Baltimore coach John Harbaugh told the media after they're going to have to do more testing on Monday to see where he's at. Obviously, now I said the game becomes much more winnable, but I don't want to say, I'll say it becomes more winnable if Jackson doesn't play. But even if he doesn't, hey, look, Baltimore is a tough, hard-nosed team that plays well at home. You talk about battling next man. They've had a ton of injuries this year, too. And they've just, hey, next man up, man. They keep battling. It's a good team. Jackson or no Jackson, that one won't be easy. The Packers will have to come ready to play. Because that is one of the tougher road environments in the league in Baltimore. They still do the Seven Nation Army chant? I like that chant. Are they still going to do that? Maybe they'll do it, and then we'll shut them up. Maybe we'll get the Packer fans there to do the Seven Nation Army chant after we won the game. There we go. Let's go with that. And of course, I'll be back next Sunday night to recap that one, win, lose, or draw. It'll be Monday morning before you hear it, so keep your eyes and your ears out for that one. And yes, I will keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talk and Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you. I love you. I love you. The Bears still suck. Stay safe out there in this crazy-ass world. And remember, always and forever, go, Pack, go.